Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up tonight, top of the hour, another edition of the Tyson Helton Show. Head coach of Western Kentucky, once again, a reminder, their football game tomorrow on the road against Charlotte has now been canceled, so it will not go on as slated after getting moved from Saturday to tomorrow morning, now canceled. Right now, chance to talk a little Vanderbilt Commodores. Adam Sparks with the Tennessean joins us now. Adam, you know, we had discussed this previously, and to me, everybody kept asking me, what do you think about, will Vanderbilt part ways with Derek Mason? Two things were factors for me. How the team played each week going down in the stretch run, still fighting for Coach Mason and that staff. And the other one, will Vanderbilt beat Tennessee on November 28th? Well, that didn't occur because the game got moved, and so Vanderbilt had to play on the road against Missouri. And the other part didn't happen either, as Vanderbilt was a no-show on Saturday in Columbia, Missouri.
Well, let's not bury the lead here, Johnny. You just said Charlotte. Is Charlotte, West Kentucky are postponed. So why is Will Healy not answering my phone calls?
I wonder what's going on there.
I tweeted it the other day, and Candace Lee pretty much confirmed it today in her press conference that a lot of the timing of Derek's firing had to do with the schedule. Vandy was going to play UT Saturday. And maybe he would have saved a job, maybe had a chance, I don't know. But once the UT game was moved off of its regular schedule, moved to what's going to be either December 12th or 19th, if you were going to fire Derek Mason, you were going to go ahead and do it now, and that's what they did. Because if you were going to wait to the UT game and try to give him another chance to beat the Vols, then you would be waiting till, let's say if it was the 12th, then you'd have to fire him on the 13th, potentially. If it was the 19th, you would fire him then, and signing day would already be over. And so he'd have a class signed and then fired. And they were not going to do that. They were not going to have players sign national letter of intent not knowing who their coach was going to be. So once they decided that they were going to fire him at the end of the season, they went ahead and did it now. And Candace Lee said today that she's going to try to get a coach hired by signing day, but that's not necessarily just going to be the goal, that she's not going to sacrifice. As she said, she's not going to sacrifice quality for speed. So we'll see if it happens before then. But, yeah, I mean, that was kind of the end of it, I think. Once things started going south, they played that poorly against Missouri.
Here's the thing. If it's different if you're one of the top five programs out there. And, you know, let's say down the road, Dabo Swinney leads Clemson for Alabama, which now after the second national championship, I don't ever see that happening. But my point is, if your program's like that, you don't necessarily have to worry about there will always be individuals wanting those jobs. If you're in this situation with Vanderbilt, you better have a good list, not only of folks that you are interested in, but also folks that are interested in you. Or otherwise, why are you making this decision?
Yeah, I think the second part of that is the biggest thing. Not that you should know kind of who you want to go get. A lot of people can put together lists. We've got a list right now on Tennessean.com. A lot of people have. But it's the who's interested in you.
Right.
You know, because, yeah, the Vandy job is not for everybody. So, you know, you've got to be able to sell it to people. If you're talking about young, up-and-coming coaches, sometimes those coaches will jump on board because this is an SEC job that they can actually get before they could get other jobs.
And you get paid quite well, by the way. It'll be a nice raise for most folks that are wanting their name in
sure.
the hunt.
But some are scared away by a Vandy job because they're supposed to be up-and-coming coaches. They're supposed to be coaches on the rise. If you don't go and win enough at Vandy at a really tough job, then that rise is stopped. And, you know, look at the last two coaches. James Franklin did well with it and turned it into a Penn State job. Derek Mason hung on for quite a while, but, you know, didn't win enough. And now he's unemployed, handsomely paid to be unemployed, but still unemployed. Had he stayed at Stanford and then taken a different job, maybe a high mid-major or a low Power 5 job instead of Vandy, instead of an SEC job, then, you know, maybe his rise keeps on going. So I think that scares away some young coaches of whether or not Vandy is the right job for them to jump to.
So, look, there's other things that are factors here. And so whoever is wanting this job, don't just take the pay raise. You need to know that, A, you're going to be getting enough money from a recruiting standpoint to make up the difference, knowing that you're facing a tougher battle than all the remaining 13 teams inside the SEC with regards to recruiting. So you need that. You also need the money for your assistant coaches to be able to recruit solid assistant coaches and coordinators. So you've got that, and then the big elephant in the room, the facilities and the stadium, which work against you.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to have to be a sales job for Candace Lee and for the Chancellor Dearmeyer and a lot of others in the administration to convince a coach that what they need they can get. Now, something as much as, you know, recruiting budget and assistant coach budget and all that, that's worked in. Those papers are signed, and you can't really go back on that. The facilities is a little different because, you know, Vandy has promised facilities plans for quite a while. They do have a master plan, a facilities plan right now that, you know, we get little inklings of, but we don't see the full thing. When they roll that out to the new coach has to believe that's actually going to occur. And if you look back at recent history, that usually hasn't occurred. Now, you know, Vandy's administration will point to the indoor facility and say, hey, James Franklin won here, and we gave an indoor facility. So you'll win here, and we'll give you something. You know, if they believe that, and if that comes to fruition, then great. But a lot of coaches are going to come in skeptical because Vandy does have the reputation of promising things but then not delivering it. So they'll have to get over that hurdle. And I would imagine, you know, some coaches at the top of their list will be skeptical enough that they probably won't get them.
Well, I think the agents that are out there, and, you know, probably just a handful of agents we're talking about representing the group of individuals that want this job, it's really simple. There will have to be penalties against Vanderbilt that will reward that head coach financially if the things that are being talked about and promised are not delivered upon.
Yeah, that's certainly an option. I mean, I believe that's something of what James Franklin had. The thing is, I think Vandy, unless they're very, very confident that they'll get these things done, I think if that's the case, they may shy away from some coaches that would demand that. Maybe that's not the best move, but if you're not really confident it's gonna happen, then that's probably what they're gonna do. I mean, it's a little bit of a game of chicken. You promise it, put your money on the table. Well, actually, we're not as certain as we said we were. I think you could certainly run into that with Vandy. So, but you know, who knows who wants the job? I mean, Clark Lee at Notre Dame, he's a NBA grad, Nashville native, has really strong ties here still, his family, so on. Really good defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. He's been around for quite a while. He's 38 years old. He's a guy that could get a lot of Power 5 jobs. And if he wants to come back to Nashville and he played football at Vandy, that's, you know, if this is a job that he really wants, I think he'd be a pretty good hire.
Does that name do anything for you, though, by the way?
Say again?
Does that name do anything for you? Because now I think it's to the point, knowing that it's not just angry fans. We have now a lot of apathy out there for football fans of Vanderbilt. So to me, you need and I like the direction from an offensive-minded coach. You need offense. You need to have something exciting out there on the football field that will generate interest as far as the fans. Two, you need somebody with a personality that will be out in the community, that will be recruiting in the community, will be recruiting out, and I think that has been lacking. I love Derek Mason to death, and here is somebody very engaging. I mean, I can't say enough nice things about Derek Mason. But was he that personality? I don't think so.
The people that tell me that have covered Clark Lee, though, tell me that he's probably among the most charismatic on the list. And the fact that he does know Nashville really well. I'm not saying he's the guy, but I think that's a guy you absolutely have to talk to. That's a guy that can get other Power 5 jobs. If he wants Vandy, you need to talk to him. Yeah, the offensive-minded thing, which is what Candace Lee said today in her press conference, it was, you know, she said, I want somebody offensive-minded, and then you thought, oh, well, any defensive coach now is out of the pool. Then she kind of, after that, she said, well, it doesn't have to be an offensive head coach, but if it's not, I want you know, somebody on their staff, some kind of philosophy. In other words, tell me who your offensive coordinator and your philosophy is going to be. And I think she wants exciting offense. You know, I mean, look at the top of the conference, top of college football, Alabama. They used to be a rough and tumble, physical, running the ball, defensive type program. Now it's, you know, basically since Tua and after that, even a little before that, that's a team that, you know, a lot of offense, a lot of skill players, a lot of excitement, team that'll put up 50 in any given game. That's kind of where college football is going, so that's where Vandy's looking. They want something with offense, and they do have some pieces there, depending on what kind of coach they get. They've got a quarterback, they've got a couple of skilled guys, they got a run back, so, you know, I think maybe Candace Lee is looking at that and saying this offense could be pretty good, pretty competitive, so why not go find a coach that can do that?
I hope they get a coach who also will delegate authority to an offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, because whoever is the head coach needs to be the CEO of this football program, not be distracted by having to oversee one side of the ball or the other. And back to the offensive-minded thing, if you're any good at all on offense as a coordinator or as a head coach, guess what you know? You know what defenses work and which ones don't work against your offenses. So I've never really liked, and same thing applies if you're a defensive-minded coach. You still know which are the tougher offenses to have to defend against week in and week out. All right, Adam, a lot to keep up with over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Do me a favor, remind the listeners again the best ways to keep up with your coverage.
Yeah, in print, the Tennessean, online, Tennessean.com, and on Twitter, at Adam Sparks.
All right, buddy, thank you. Have an incredible week. I'm pretty sure it's going to be fairly busy, so we'll see how that all plays out for you.
All right, thanks, Johnny. We'll see y'all.